Thank you for listening to the Fierce Audie podcast, where we talk about disability, quackery, parenting, and Jewish life.
Hello, everybody. This is Aviva. I'm back. I am going back through some of my blogs that don't have audio to them, and I am doing them as a podcast. This one is why I had been absent for months, and it is called Moving from Survival Mode When That Is All You Have Ever Known. As most of you know, I was an abused child, and I started out my life in survival mode, and I wasn't sure how else to be. I escaped 9 hours away, so I could be far enough away from them, but in the state where the financial aid would cover my tuition. And I'm perfectly happy where I'm at now, but it's hard transitioning from survival mode to not survival mode. So as before, I am going to be using mental health breaks in order to prevent people from being triggered. This is a trigger warning. I am speaking on abuse and mistreatment because that was my life. And I'm hoping this helps someone else. Survival as a child. Ever since I can remember, I was always in survival mode. Most people think of being poor as in survival mode. But how I started off was much more than that. If you saw my family, you would think we were a normal family. A hetero couple, a daughter, and two sons. One of the little boys had a neck tick, and everything else was normal if some people did not give it a second glance. I was being bullied by one of my brothers, and my parents thought it was funny. I would not go into details, but it was physically, mentally, and emotionally abused by my parents because I was not normal. The irony is, I really do think my father is autistic. He acts just like those Aspie supremacists, and you know what I'm talking about. I was an ABA from when I was younger for about 5 years. I was always not good enough. My family had more than enough money, but I was not worthy of a lot of things, including affection. I'm convinced this is the main reason I don't like to be touched. I never got "I'm proud of you" or "I love you." The hugs were always so cold. And now I will only hug people I'm extremely close with. Survival as a young adult. After I graduated high school, I left home to the further state college away from where I grew up, but still being in New York State. I needed in-state tuition, but being safely away from the family that had raised me. I was free of them. They could not get me in the mountains, but I was constantly on my guard and did not know how to exist on my own. I was lucky, and my college roommate taught me basic life skills. I had basic paranoia. I thought people would leave me if I wasn't who they wanted me to be. To me, it was survival. That's what masking is. One holiday, my parents refused to let me come home, and I was scared. A great friend of mine and her parents took me in, so I had someplace to go. I am still forever grateful, and I still talk to her and her mom. I will never not be grateful for that. And I found out when I came back to town that her mom never knew the circumstances. She's just said, "I need my friend to come stay." And she was completely fine. She has the same attitude as I do. When my oldest says, "Hey, I'm going to have a couple of my friends over because I know some parents are not as accepting of the queer community as I am, since I'm a part of it. And I always want everyone to be safe." And this is also the main reason I pushed so hard for this house, because where if anything happens, each of my kids and their respective partners will have someplace safe to go. That is my goal with having such a big house. Soon after that, Nick and I met. We then got an apartment together with a roommate. This way, I would have a place to go when school wasn't in session. We were always hurting for money, but we had each other and I was safe. His mom was always a strong support system and I am grateful for her. My mother-in-law was the mother I never had. She treated me like I was her own child. She even called my parents up to tell them off a time or two because of how they were being. You know, we all miss her so much. And with that, we're going to take a mental health break. Don't forget to take your meds if you need to. Drink water, stretch, or eat something.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back. We continue survival mode after being married and moving to Florida. We had no idea what would happen moving to a different state. My parents were snowbirds there, and Nick had gotten a better job, and it was worth picking up and moving. After we had kids, with much help from my doctor, we cut my parents out of our lives for good. When they would not respect my kids' boundaries and expected me to reprimand them. Absolutely not. So what happened was my father would constantly touch Bug, and he does not like to be touched. He's a lot like me. So what happened was that my father would constantly touch Bug, and he does not like to be touched. For example, we had a CPS worker come to our house because there was crumbs in Boop's backpack. It was closed faster than it was open. It was ridiculous. Anyway, one day after Bug started talking, my father didn't know he was talking because I kept them at arm's length. And my father was starting to tickle him. And he didn't like it because he doesn't like to be touched. So he said to him very clearly at about 5 years old, "I don't like that and I don't like you." My father said to me, "Well, aren't you going to say something?" "Well, yes, I am. Bug, great job for sticking up for yourself." The look on my father's face was priceless. It was amazing. And you could see Nick, my husband, in the background laughing at him in ASL. You know, the slang for ha, 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 ha. And the irony behind that is because I wasn't allowed to sign at home. Okay. And my husband learned sign for me. Only reason he knows. It's a big difference. They say you marry your father, not all the time. I got very lucky. Anyway, I was always worried when I was out and about, I would run into them. Because their house in Florida was 30 minutes away from me. And I was always looking over my shoulder when the season was. And trying to see and watch for my parents' cars to see if I would run into them anywhere. Because we would go to some of the same spots. And I would avoid going into the store for this reason. I was constantly on alert. I was only able to relax during the half the year they were not in Florida because I knew they were back on Long Island. I was always worried about money because my parents told me I would never be able to do anything without them. After a lot of therapy, I was able to take back a lot of my life after I kicked them out of my life. Then the housing crisis in South Florida happened. You all remembered me blogging about that. I did make decent money with my pet sitting and vet tech business, but it was still not enough to survive. Our rent went up $1,000 per month in 1 year. There was no way we could make this work. We had to do something. There had to be a change. As a joke, we decided to look at houses back home, upstate New York. And we saw this house that was an old assisted living house. Fully accessible, 12 bedrooms, each child could have their own room. This would be a dream for us. I contacted the realtor, who incidentally, this was the owner's son. He took us on a video walkthrough and we fell in love with the place. They arranged it so we could move in, rent it until we could buy it. Not only that, they would be paying for all utilities and providing snow removal and lawn care. They even come by and saw our front porch because they heard I fall pretty easily on the ice. I had arranged it to get my old job back, and that was not difficult. Later on, they did fire me for being disabled. It is not ran by the same people. I remember it 16, 17 years ago. And right now, I am going through a grieving process for this organization because I had such a loyalty for them for close to 20 years. I took as many pets as I could. When I was working, I worked 7 days a week to make sure we were able to get back. It took a lot of logistics and planning and money to get all 10 of us upstate. So we did take both of our cars. We stuffed them full. We were able to take all of our pets with us because leaving them behind was not an option. We got two U-boxes from U-Haul, got rid of 75% of all of our belongings, and still that costs around $3,000. I'm probably going to get really emotional. So when our rabbi in Florida found out that we were moving and the reason behind it, he went to another member of our shul who was very well off and paid our house deposit. I really wasn't sure where that money was going to come from. I had not improved my credit yet. And we were in trouble. We didn't move until after Bug's bar mitzvah because he had been working so hard on it and they were so good. And Rabbi was so thankful he was able to do it. He spent a good big chunk saying how much he was going to miss us. But unfortunately, with us being Jewish, with me being half Middle Eastern, Bug's the only one who even looks remotely Middle Eastern. And the way Florida is now with queer people and the education system, we could not have stayed. I don't think it would have been safe for us. Right now, my husband's old partner from the police academy is a higher up, I believe a psychologist. I'm not sure what his credentials are, but he is in charge of the mental health department in Palm Beach schools. And he stays there so Jewish kids have a safe place to turn to. I believe he's Hispanic, and not being white, I also am scared for him. He is dating a nice Jewish lady who accepts his daughter as her own kid. And I'm very happy for him. He was the only one who knew that Nick had a brain injury during the academy and really looked out for him, and I really do appreciate that. Transition to New York. We moved at the end of November after getting rid of 75% of our belongings to make the move cheaper and easier. We only kept the kids' belongings that they really wanted, irreplaceable things, and things we absolutely needed. KitchenAid mixer was a must. That is something for my EDS, and I've had that since. My little penguin child was a really little baby. We got it. No, we got that KitchenAid mixer while I was pregnant for Rue. We have had it since then. We got it used at a yard sale, and we still have it. And that was coming with us no matter what. Nick and I each drive Nissan Leafs. That means we had to stop 22 times to charge on the way up there and stop for 3 nights each. I left first so I could meet the people at my job. I was able to meet the owner's son, who we deal with when we're paying our rent. He comes to our house every month, so we don't have to worry about going there. He has been nothing but wonderful to us. And as soon as his house closes, he might be an exception for the hug rule, because I don't know what we would have done without them. Nick wanted me to leave first because I had all the pets and 4 of the kids. He handled moving our belongings up there between a mover and 2 U-boxes from U-Haul, and the mover didn't really take much. My car was packed, but we drove up there with a friend and her son. I dragged my friend up here because she was really struggling and had to get away from her abusive ex. She stayed with us until August. My friend still lives on her own. I had gotten her a job where I used to work. We were set to start on December 12th. And she also got fired for the same reason. We are both getting the same state job. The ride up was pretty uneventful. We had SNAP saved up to eat on the road. That's because of all the PEBT where we got the max amount because of the pandemic food stamps. And that lasted us for a few months. All we really needed to pay for was electricity and a place to stay for a night that was pet friendly. So on the day this was written, last night I was worried about Nick and my other kids having enough money to get home. I drove for 24 hours straight from Virginia all the way to the house. So it was central Virginia, and I am about 20 minutes from the Canadian border. So I drove for over 24 hours. I was very lucky that on the Adirondack Northway, there are 2 rapid charging stations right on the highway that are free. They are free. And I thought the name of one of them was hilarious, and I still do. Maybe I was delirious with how tired I was. It's called Energy Bar. I thought it was hilarious. Energy Bar for a charging station. The last night I was worried about Nick. When we got there, I was worried how we would survive. The kids' Social Security barely paid the bills, but we had to eat. The DSS here was taking forever, and I could not wait for them. I wound up doing Instacart deliveries just to bring money in for food while I was waiting to start my job. I was burned out and exhausted. I was worried about spending $1 on something. I was trying to hide my worry from the kids, but they knew. I hadn't opened my gaming PC since November, and I hadn't for about 4 months ago when I started using it again because I didn't feel like I was worthy. I felt like a failure. I was worried if I wasn't working, my family would suffer. After I started my job, I learned that I would not get paid for 3 weeks. I had to work full-time and do Instacart. When I wasn't working, I was sleeping and the kids barely saw me. What kept me going? My kids, my partner, knowing this was temporary, and y'all donated money for us to buy food so I can get a few days rest, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciated it. I slept for 12 hours the day I figured out that you all donated enough money for us not to worry. And it wasn't really much because we are very frugal. Two of my paychecks were spent paying for moving expenses. The second paycheck had to go in almost in its entirety for paying the U-Haul for the U-Boxes. I reached out to the local community to get us through 3 days. There's a local Facebook group for this area, and I reached out. I asked for food for 3 days, and you will never believe what happened. The whole community reached out and helped. I was blown away by the community. We used to live here, and I really should have known better. The local farm stand had us go down to their business, which was only a couple of miles away, and they gave us enough food for a month. Praise Farmers Market. I am going to plug them in right here. They are wonderful people, and they found out how many kids we have and how we were just trying to get back home and get on with our lives. And he made sure that we were well taken care of. He even added some sugary snacks for my diabetic child because he heard that he goes low quite a bit. Well, he doesn't much anymore because puberty does affect the hormones, which affects the insulin. But when he was going low all the time and he knew he hadn't had New York insurance yet, I had made sure that he got a brand new pump from Florida Medicaid before we moved. And he made sure there was plenty of juice and things like that in case he went low. We're going to take a little bit of a break. And we will be right back. Don't forget to drink, go to the bathroom, stretch, or eat and take your meds. Thank you. And we are back. Thank you for bearing with me, and I know that the mental health breaks from some of these things are just as important to you as they are to me. As we continue. Not needing to be in survival mode anymore. After my third paycheck, we started to buy things we needed for the house on Marketplace, groceries, especially the snacks the kids wanted and missed for so long because we could not afford it. After we were all set up in the house, I started to work on my credit. I was paying down loans, getting our cars current, paying back charge-offs because when we have credit pulled for a mortgage, they don't want to see us owing anything except on credit cards, our cars, current loans, etc. The owner of the house wanted to know the plan for purchasing. We told them that we maxed out our credit cards due to our situation down in Florida, but we have paying things off. Our credit has been going up and they are being extremely patient. As of now, we receive our tax refund, paid off half of our credit cards. Both cars are both current, paid off two loans, etc. We are almost out of bad debt. This feels like a dream, and we are out of bad debt right now. We have no collections, no nothing. I took a third of my paycheck to pay everything off, and we budgeted for it. I worked double so we could do this. I was finally able to afford to get my kids' haircuts, the dogs to the groomer, etc. These are basic things everyone needs. We shouldn't have to worry about these things. Things people take for granted we were not able to do when we got out here. We got a lot of help, and we are very self-sufficient. We are very resourceful, and we know how to make something out of nothing. Especially when it comes to food, where I have my saying, throw things in a pot and hope for the best. When this was written, about a week ago, I asked my partner if I should get an iPad Beat earbuds for hearing accommodation with iPhone, a new gaming headset, and a new controller. I fully expected him to tell me not to. I fully wanted him to tell me not to. Instead, he said, yes, I needed these things. After I placed the order, I felt extremely selfish and guilty. Everyone I told yelled at me because they said I deserved these things. And that is hard. Even though I do use my iPad quite a bit, it is hard to feel that I deserve things. But it felt great, and it was a really big shift. This is when I realized we made it. I am making more than enough money to get us the basic necessities and a lot of the kids' wants. Not only that, I do enjoy my job. What is my job? I support disabled people in supportive housing. I am able to level with them, and I am extremely open about my own disabilities, and they respect me for it. It doesn't feel like work. I love going to work each day, but I am happy to be home with my family when I am not at work. After being able to buy an expensive toy for myself, it dawned on me. We don't need to be in survival mode anymore, but there is one problem. We don't know how. We don't know how not to be in survival mode. My parents don't know where we are. We are financially stable and we are happy. The kids love going to school here. They are often spending time with friends on the weekend. None of this happened before, and it's overwhelming to thinking about it. A few people suggested EDMR therapy. I am going to look into this, but at the current time, my work schedule and schedule with the kids does not allow for it. I constantly run into people that we know, and you know, we are finally home. And after I came to this realization, I started doing photography again. I was looking into getting a professional camera, but then I realized my phone takes excellent pictures. So a lot of the pictures and photos that you see on my site and on my social media that I have done, I did those myself. And for anybody else who is in survival mode right there, reach out for help. We didn't do it by ourselves. Even though we weren't in an abusive Currently, at that point in time, we were not in an abusive situation, unless you count my landlord really evicting us without actually evicting us by raising it more than we could afford. And not only that, they wanted us to match the security deposit and the last month's rent. because they required us to pay a double deposit because of the amount of kids we had. Isn't that something? They're not supposed to be discriminating against familial status, and they made us pay a deposit on Mikey, our service dog, Ralph, when he was still alive. But they're not supposed to charge a deposit for service animals. I never claimed Lily was one, so I never pushed her off as one. Because it's not okay. She's a very good emotional support dog, but I digress. If you need help or resources in any way, please send me a message.
Don't forget to subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Keep on speaking your truth and never let your flame burn out. Thank you for listening.